Hello, everybody. Welcome to RPG Cast, episode 799 for the week of January 31st, 2026. It's the last week of January, but it's the first week of our Dragon Quest celebration of 2026. That's right. Here joining me for the celebration, Kelly Ryan.
We were having a Dragon Quest celebration?
I just made that up right now, so let's go with yes.
Okay.
Also joining me, Josh Carpenter.
Just trying to stay warm here on Hoth today.
Same.
I just leveled up in Dying in this new RPG I'm playing.
A new RPG?
Yeah. I am playing Project Gorgon. It is an MMO that was kickstarted. It's been in early access since 2018, and it finally released this week.
That is amazing after that amount of time it actually released.
That it actually came out ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's an interesting game. It is, it's got like two developers and a dedicated community, and it's got some jank. It's got a lot of jank. There's a lot of jank.
The
good kind of jank. It has it's very much like, I don't know if it's Unity or not, but it's like someone started with the game engine, it had a default font, and they never bothered to change it, so it's got that kind of look to it. They've done a good job for the amount of people it is. It's like the art assets are competent enough to get the job done, but like you're not going to see like, you know, the art you get from an NCSoft or Blizzard game or whatever. But holy crap, does it have cool ideas? This is an MMO that does everything you do as a skill. So think like Skyrim or RuneScape for that. And then, your goal is just to like find stuff and explore and do things. And it's not about some heavy story narrative, though it has a little bit of that to frame it for you, but they do weird things in this game and consequences matter. Like there are a lot of things can get you cursed into various animal forms. You can sign up to become a druid, but if you do, you are actually on call now for nature emergencies that you can't put off. If you get turned into a werewolf, unlike every other animal form in this game that can be cured, werewolf lycanthropy can't be cured, and it's permanent, and they will never add a cure to the game, they've said. So, like, if you become a werewolf, like, you're stuck as a wolf whenever there's a full moon, and you can't do anything about it. But you can use the wolf form back and forth for combat whenever you want outside of that. So, like, cool. Oh, and there are NPCs that don't like talking to animals that can talk. So, like, being stuck as a werewolf during that could actually impact your ability to shop and buy things. Anyway, they got lots of weird, cool things like that. I think they added the original thing that these guys been in, you know, early access for forever. But they had, like, this one quest where people would get turned into a cow if they didn't beat the boss at time. It was kind of the boss's enraged timer as they turn you into a cow. And then it'll go away if you ever, you know, get some friends together and beat the boss. Some people decided to never change back from being a cow, and the developers just kind of embraced it and said, all right, well, let's flesh it out. So now cow is a viable tanking class. Yeah, exactly. They have whole armor sets for them and stuff. It's crazy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, again, we don't have the art team of, like, you know, Ubisoft or something, so, you know, it's we're not getting like the most beautiful and wide selection of armor designs, and there's only so many assets they can have, but like they did the idea, and that's pretty cool. Like, and this is a game where like your quest log has a notebook tab because you need to take notes for your quests because you don't get a marker. You need to read you have to remember stuff and write it down. It matters. Well,
that's good that they give you a means to write it down.
Yeah, I think that's really neat. It's like They're going for that old school experience people say they want, but giving you enough to help make it be tolerable to actually do what you're asking for. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, obviously some people would prefer to just have an icon to click, and, you know, that's fine. Most of the games do that, but this one doesn't. And I'm really digging their ideas and their stick to their ideasness. The problem today is they just opened up a fresh start server for the brand new, you know, 1.0 launch that they're doing. And so there's like 900 people on the starting island. And earlier today, the lag was actually 30 seconds or higher.
Oh, no.
Like you'd click on it and wait 30 seconds for something to happen. This has gone down. Like it's like much more, it's like playable now. But it's really funny that there's just so much stuff going on and so many people. And that's really cool. It's like, I say tons of people, but like this isn't a World of Warcraft launch. We're in there's 1,000 people logged in rather than, you know, 100,000 or 1,000,000 or whatever the hell it is. So, right. And the new server, if you're one of the people who's been playing at least 40 hours of this game in the past, so like all the people who've been playing like the alphas and the betas and all that, if they want to make a character on the Fresh Start server, their characters are forced to be pigs for the next week. So that they can't interfere with the players who are experiencing the game for the full time. They can only be support pigs. And it's really funny. So there's a lot of pigs here. There's pigs all over the place. And when you talk in the chat, if you haven't mastered beast speech, it puts whatever animal you are, it puts animal sounds in the chat and replaces words you say with them randomly. It's great. Go re-oink. There's your hint. Like, what? What did that say? I don't know. If you leave the island, re, you can always come oink. Like, oh, okay, cool. So I just have to guess what people are saying. And I love it. So this is fun. That's what I've been playing starting yesterday. Before that, actually still last night. I'm still playing RuneScape as well on the side. So I'm enjoying old school MMO-ness lately. And that's been fun.
So what's the monetization on Gorgon?
So it's a buy to play. There's a free demo. The demo has a lot of restrictions, like you can't trade and stuff. And I'll let you read the description because there's a really funny line in there. You're going to be like, what are you talking about? I'll just say it. You can't milk other players, which sounds really weird until you realize other players can turn into cows. So, that's a restriction on the demo. You can't milk the players that are cows. Also, milking requires consent. That's also important to know. So people have
good to
approve.
Know.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So the demo is restricted, but that's free and gets you on the same server as everyone else. The paid product has none of those restrictions. The restriction on the paid product, like, is, you know, buy once, play as much as you want without a subscription, is you can only have one character slot on each server, which, okay, fair. And then they have like a $10.99 or $11.99 a month thing that gives you VIP, which gives you some additional character slots and inventory things, I think. You know, pretty standard free-to-play MMO, buy-to-play MMO style stuff. So,
okay.
So far, I'm kind of good with not paying at the moment, but we'll see. I would probably want to know that I'm playing the game for more than a week before I start subscribing. Or maybe I should just subscribe for a month and then unsubscribe when I'm done. Either way, that works. Yeah. Anyway, Project Gorgon, Gorgon is the name. It is, if you look at the screenshots or the video footage, you're going to be like, what? And I'm going to say, like, hey, don't play it for its looks. Play it for its systems. And you probably have to get your hands dirty and try them, or your hooves dirty, depending on, you know, in order to see how it goes for you and if you like it. So, also, the ugliest cat girls I've ever seen in any MMO ever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So what is the time to cow in this? How long does
time
it take
to cow,
you to become a
I
cow?
I don't know for the cow thing. I actually don't know. I believe it is a relatively early quest, but it's not going to happen in the tutorial or anything like that. So.
Gotcha.
Also, a lot of these things, once the economy gets going, there's a lot of things, like, you can buy potions that do the transformations. And also, you can, like, not do the animal transformations. You can, like, you know, stay as your elf human or cat person form and learn various, you know, weapon based attack systems and tanks and all that sort of stuff is there as well. It's just like, it's not the unique thing about this game. So anyway, but you go into a tavern and it's weird because you'll see like a couple people dressed up as really flamboyant bards actually playing music. And then you have people dancing all over, people in the corner reciting poetry, and then, you know, you look to your left, there's a deer, and it's like, okay, cool. There's a deer in the tavern, because why not?
As you do.
As you do.
It sounds like you're not. I'm not the only one playing a zoo game, it seems.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah. There's a lot of pigs on here right now. You want to tell us what you've been playing, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm still playing Let's Build a Zoo. I finally got all of the different animal types unlocked, so now I'm just trying to unlock their variants. I haven't been making any abominations because I learned that you can use the abomination maker to clone animals, and I'm using all of my slots for that to clone animals so that I can breed them into the different variants. This is one of those games where you just have to turn your animal knowledge completely off. Cause like I got lions, and both of the male and female lions have manes, but some of the variants that you can breed don't have manes.
That's weird.
So it's like, okay, no sexual dimorphism here. You can get peafowl, and they're, no matter what gender they are, they're the bright blue peafowl.
Mm-hmm.
But you can breed the different variants, like the white peafowl and some with like blue feathers and stuff like that. So I will consider my game done when I have gotten my gold star on all of my different animals. And this game is anti-billionaire, apparently, because the money only goes to $9,999,999.
Oh.
So every time it hits the cap, I like quick, you get a Hadron Collider to increase the space on your buses.
Okay.
So every time I hit the cap, I quick hit that a couple of times so that my buses can have more space, so that I'm not using as much carbon to transport people to my zoo. yeah.
Breaking the laws of physics to transport people to zoo.
Breaking the laws of physics to be green, because how many buses you have depends on your, makes your carbon footprint higher, and you can add trees to your zoo to kind of counteract the carbon footprint, but also yes, at having more space on the buses means less buses. My zoo is almost 100% green right now. The only thing that I haven't figured out is how to collect enough methane to basically be self-sustaining on fuel. I'll have to look up a guide for that, but I don't know if there's an achievement to have a 100% green zoo. But yeah.
You want the carbon neutral achievement?
Yeah, there might very well be a carbon neutral achievement. I don't know. I have achievement pop-ups turned off on my Steam Deck, which is where I've mostly been playing this, because I all of the so-and-so is online pop-ups were getting on my nerves, so I just turned off all notifications, including that. But yeah, I spent a good chunk of the night last night kind of rearranging a lot of my zoo so that all of the, now that I have all of the animals, I can focus more on giving them more space in their enclosures. So I've been using my pretty much infinite money to buy up land so that I can move their enclosures to spots that have more space so that I can expand them and stuff, because your animals get happier when the more space that they have, and the happier they are, the more likely to breed to turn into their various variants. The only problem is that I'll be working on one spot in my zoo and then I get a pop-up saying that one pen is out of water, and I go, and it's the rabbit pen. And the rabbit pen has like 100 rabbits in it because I just let them breed out of control. And it's like, okay, go to the conservation. All but two of you are getting released into the wild. Your nature's problem now.
Your nature's problem now.
But it's a tenuous balance because I tried doing the contraception that I was talking about last week to kind of keep the populations under control. But then I go to look and it's like, oh, all of my ducks died out.
Oops.
So either you let them breed out of control, or you do the contraception, and then you're gonna have to go to the cloner to bake yourself more ducks, for lack of a better term. So you got a lot of stuff to keep track of in this game, especially in this late game where, you know, you have infinite money and infinite space, so you're focusing more on trying to optimize everything. And this definitely scratches that theme park itch for me, because that was a game that I played the crap out of when I was a kid and absolutely loved it. Though theme parks in game was more basically buying every park in the world and turning, basically having a global park empire. And this is just more making the most amazing zoo that you can make. And I didn't realize that I'd bought the ultimate version of this that also has two DLC packs where you can do dinosaurs and an aquarium. I don't know if I'm going to play those or not, because there's stuff coming out and there's stuff that came to my house that I want to play.
Oh, no, it seems like you should do dinosaurs.
Yeah, Jurassic Park, literally. Yeah,
I know. It sounds.
But also, fun. There are actual Jurassic Park Zookeeper games, essentially.
Yeah,
three of them, yeah. I think. No.
And I learned that this game is getting a sequel called "Let's Build a Dungeon."
Oh.
Where you're an MMO developer and you're building the ultimate MMO.
Mm.
And some of the stuff from, I think there's a demo of Let's Build a Dungeon out, but some of the stuff that you can get in this game comes from that game. Like, you can get various decorations that are dungeon themed. And I think all of that stuff comes from the demo of the sequel. So I am curious what the sequel's going to be like. Mm-hmm. I need to download the demo and just kind of play around with it. I'm pretty sure there's a demo. I wishlisted it the other day.
So how is this on Steam Deck? Obviously, you're enjoying it. Like, are you playing it with, is it like optimized well for the stick controller, or are you using the trackpads?
It's controller optimized. Some stuff actually works better with a controller because you have a hub menu that you just kind of go to everything using the hub menu, which with mouse controls, you have to like actually go to that building to manipulate whatever it is you're messing with, which is kind of nice. My only complaint about the Steam version is that the text is a little small, and that's like one of the negatives on the page itself is that the text is a little small. There's console versions of this game, I might add.
Yeah.
Because I had wishlisted the before I saw how well it ran on my Steam Deck, I had wishlisted the Switch version. Because I saw on Deku Deals that you could get the game with all the DLC for like $10 on the Switch version, but it plays pretty well on the deck, all things considered. And yeah, Let's Build a Dungeon has a demo, planned release date 2026. And it's sort of the same concept, but you're trying to build the ultimate MMO. Hmm. And you're instead of zoo patrons, you're trying to attract subscribers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to download this and just see how it plays. Because I feel like whatever this company is, Spring Loaded, is becoming the Bullfrog 2.0 between having a sort of theme park game and now a sort of Dungeon Keeper game. And those Dungeon Keeper and Theme Park are two of my favorite PC games of all time, and I hate that EA just kind of did the EA thing to that company.
Well, that's what EA does. They buy it up and they make, you know, they put out a couple and then they shut it down. That's how they do.
Yep. Thank God for indies to give us the stuff from our childhood. And speaking of indies, I'm also at the end game of Hades 2. I started what I believe is the final run. I just have not had time to sit down and actually finish that run. I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to do story spoilers, but basically you have to like take out, do something in Mount Olympus, the above ground, before you can finish what you need to do in the below ground.
Which, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I kind of assumed that was the case for the whole point of adding the Mount Olympus part.
Yeah. Which is good because it is so easy to focus on like either the Mount Olympus or the Tartarus side of it and not do the other side.
Yeah.
Because I did several runs where I was doing Mount Olympus only because I was trying to unlock the prophecy to beat Mount Olympus with all six weapons. And then it's like, okay, I've done that. I guess I need to focus on Tartarus now. But my God, that is such a good game. I can't even articulate it. What, that is just such a good game. I'm glad that it finally came out on Switch so that I could experience it, because you talked it up so well, and I wanted to play it, but I also I like waiting for stuff to be done first.
Well, and you made the correct choice, because I have run into that same problem like you expected, where it's like I played it a bunch in early access, and now I haven't been able to get myself to get back into playing it again when it finally all launches.
And you get the full game when you bought it in early access, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah. I don't know how well it runs on Steam Deck, because I'm playing the Switch 2 version.
It ran fine on early access, even, on Steam Deck.
Yeah. When you get done with your trailsing, you'll have to boot that up, and we can chat about different things that happen.
I need to. But like you said, I am deep into Trails right now. I've made it to the second act, which has improved things dramatically, because you've finally gotten away from just Van and Company and it going through the first act. The first act is just... It's slightly frustrating that they consider this like a new arc, and they treat it like that, where, oh, you player, you've never seen any of these people before. We have to introduce you to this place and all the characters. And you got to go through the little introduction with every single character again, you know, because you've never met these people before.
This isn't clearly my first rodeo option.
I know. They so desperately need that. I mean, they can check and see that, you know, you have a save file from the last game. They give you a little bonus for that. So, like, why don't you just be like, okay, we're going to cut back on the introductory stuff by, like, 75%.
That would be
just really... give me that option.
That would be really nice. We were bitching about this last week.
I know. I love the game. I love its, you know, its ambition and scope, but there are, you know, they really are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Because when you build something like this, that's this epic, you know, it's daunting to ask people to like, okay, yeah, start like 10 games ago and play all the way through. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to try and give people onboarding points.
Well, it makes me wonder if they could even gamify it, be like, oh, here's this person, have you met them before, yes or no?
Yeah,
like Reen, like, yeah. all of us expert Kiseki players have all met Reen. Just say, hey, do I need to introduce you to Reen?
Yeah, I know Reen. And then it can just be like, okay, we don't need to bother with this.
We need like the Mass Effect 2 or 3 beginning sequence where you choose your history.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yes. Yes. This is what they need. But like getting to Act 2, getting then you kind of get to select between which route, you know, like you get to bounce between Kevin and Reen and Van. And so, like, immediately pick Kevin and do his route. And it's like, oh, yes, I can finally see, you know, like, because the Daybreak 2, the other frustrating thing I had with it, it just kind of felt like it was spinning its wheels narratively. It didn't really move the overall story forward. And this one already, it feels like, okay, I can see we're finally kind of, like, doing some stuff with – you know, like Van's, you know, ability to turn into a Grindel, and they've not really there's not really been a whole lot of thought or investigation of that, and it seems like we're finally going to kind of like dig into what that's about and where that's going to go. And Kevin is kind of shown up, and he's, you know, kind of like you in the first section of his with him kind of announcing like, okay, he's going back to being a heretic hunter. And you're like, oh, this is going to go interesting places. I can't wait to see. But, oh, I forgot to mention last week, I'm playing the Switch 2 version. Mm-hmm. That was the other thing. I played Daybreak 2 on Switch, I think, so I could take it on vacation. And the Switch, at least of Daybreak 2, I can't speak to Beyond the Horizon, but it was playable, but it had a lot of, you know, areas where it would, you know, really chug in frame rate. There was lots and lots of pop in, especially like if you were running around town, you'd just be like running down roads and then all of a sudden you just like stop and you'd be like, why did my character stop? And then, you know, like the bus would pop in, you know, a few seconds later, like, oh, I ran into a bus. Okay. Yeah, the Switch 2 version doesn't have those kind of problems. Occasionally you'll see like weird little graphical glitches, or, you know, there's been a couple of times where it kind of like zooms out and kind of scrolls across like some section of Edith as you walk, you know, as you first go in, you'll kind of see like, oh, there's a box kind of popping in the middle of this vista. But, you know, like when you're actually playing the game, I haven't noticed any kind of like frame rate drops or, you know, any sort of bad pop in or texture problems like the regular Switch version has. So it seems like it's the Switch 2 version kind of at least achieves parity with the other consoles. It did crash on me once where in just a menu randomly, but thankfully the autosave kept me from really losing any progress there. And that's kind of been the one and only time it's acted weird. Yeah, it was just very strange. Just like open up a menu, kind of digging through, trying to upgrade a character, and then it just like froze. one of those weird ones where it's not like it froze the entire system. The music was still playing, everything was going, but you just couldn't put any inputs in. It was just like, nope, not taking anymore. Like you could still go back to the main home screen, and very odd little bug I ran into, but otherwise it's been very good. That's I'm waiting on you, Kel, to get caught up so we can talk about it.
I know
you're too behind now.
I'm too behind, and I get too sucked into games that have nothing to do with this kind of stuff, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. We need you need one of those build a zoo, turn off my brain, and build weird let's make some abominations of science.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that I don't even think it's funny to do put like a pig head on a snake. I think it's funnier to do like a polar bear head on a regular bear. Or once my cloners are done making variants, I want to do like tiger lion hybrids and stuff like that, just to amuse me. Because I don't know why that stuff just cracks me up.
And this one will just let you do whatever you want.
Yeah, and I'm curious if the sequel is gonna have stuff like that. January has been a rough month. I hope that all of the crap is confined to January, or if it's just going to get worse. I don't know. And I just realized, Josh, you said that you're in Hoth right now, of those Alabama.
It's worse for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, how bad is Wisconsin then?
Yeah.
It is cold. It's only night, but it's actually warmer today. It's 19 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, God.
What? We've been negative a lot lately, so this is great.
Yeah.
When I woke up, it was 2 out, and then it slowly crept up to 13. Vaughn shoveled our walkway yesterday, so I appreciate that. Because we've got company coming over later, and we didn't want them to fall on the driveway, on the walkway. But we haven't bothered with the driveway because we don't really leave the house.
Not
One
in
of the
this
fun
weather.
things, yeah, one of the fun things about working from home, you don't have to bother with clearing the driveway. I mean, unless obviously you want to go out and get food or something. Yeah, because the roads themselves have been clear. Does Alabama have that issue that like Texas has, where because they have no infrastructure for snow, everybody has just been panicking?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That's great. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you get like 2 inches of snow here and that shuts everything down.
Okay.
Trust me, Chris, with people in Alabama who don't experience snow, you don't want to be on the roadways with those people
Fair
anyway.
enough. All right. Yeah.
Now I get it. And talking with our wintry theme for the season, our question of the week last week was, what is your favorite winter themed area in a video game? And we had Strawberry Eggs, who said the title of this episode really made me laugh. It was Bob's Chicken Kicking Adventure was last week's episode title in reference to Fable. And she said, anyway, my favorite snowy area is Snowman from Earthbound Beginnings. I assume that Snowman is a town name. I haven't played that game. It's pretty basic as far as towns go, being a Famicom slash NES RPG, but I really love the music there. Plus, it's kind of pretty, and you recruit Anna there. And that was our only response.
Hey, it's something though.
I know. I guess not a lot of people wanted to think about the cold.
Yeah. Is this where you say the cold never bothered you anyway, Kelly?
Eh, not really. I hate
Okay.
that song.
All right, cool.
And our this week's question of the week has to do with a review that we have later, so tease. Are you gonna beat me into the news?
Beep, 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 beep.
Long Gone Days has a physical release that was announced. This is a narrative-driven RPG, and let's see, the standard edition is going to come with a physical copy of the game for PS5 or Nintendo Switch, along with the sticker sheet, and will be $45. The collector's edition is going to come with the game for your system of choice, PS5 or Switch, sticker sheet, art book, acrylic chibi standees, a luggage tag, a soundtrack CD, and a collector's box. Did anybody play Long Gone Days? I think
I did
Dalinar
not.
did.
No. I think Ryan reviewed it, but I did not play it.
Yeah, we have the link to Ryan's review in the story, but it sounds like this is kind of like a Citizen Sleeper type RPG, somewhat.
Yeah, very narrative focused. Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on, we've got dungeon crawling RPG Erewhon releasing on Steam
It's
later this
nowhere
year.
spelled backwards.
Oh, okay. First person dungeon crawler, set in a mysterious labyrinth.
With mysterious art, it's all very undetailed calligraphy
Yeah.
squiggles for the enemies. Interesting. Well, like you could tell it's the shapes and stuff. It's all one color, black.
Yeah, kind of black on like a parchment background.
Yeah. It's really cool how they had to do like the definition of things, because it's where you don't draw rather than where you do draw. That makes it really look like something. It's interesting. Anyway, check it out.
Has a neat art
Can you check it
style.
out? When's it coming?
Does not say, it's just
Later this
available to
year.
wish list. And
Later this year's.
our screenshots on the site are in Japanese.
So it'll be
So.
English and Japanese, they say. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Anno, how do you say that? Mutationonium?
Sure.
Yeah. I think you got it close.
Adds boss, rogue mode, and a Mac version. So yeah, this is an action adventure RPG, and yeah, this new mode blends a boss rush mode along with new roguelike elements, and
Does
it's
this
unlocked.
tie into the game where you do drinks?
Ooh. Valheim?
Yeah.
Or
I guess not. Oh, originally released in 2022. Okay. So.
yeah.
It has a similar art style, but I don't think it does.
Okay. Should add a demo. Download the demo and give it a try.
Yeah, if you need more information about the game, we have a review from Alex. It's kind of a cyberpunk side-scrolling action RPG. So that looks fun. A game for me, Rock Tour Tactical RPG Sonic Terror has been announced. A game set in an alternative 1984 where you're controlling an outlaw rock band. And you're fighting aliens with this outlaw rock band, with music as
Yeah,
your weapon.
this is very killer game, isn't it?
Yeah. Looks kind of neat. They have a trailer up on the site that has some cool music. And yeah, I'm hoping that the mu or yeah, you're fighting the aliens with your instruments, so
This
riffs,
is
bass lines, and
weird.
drum beats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, this seems cool. That's not just weird. That's weird enough to be neat.
I dig it.
No idea when it's coming out.
X-based tactical RPG. Yeah, weird.
Doesn't look like you can move the drum set easily, though, which I can attest to from real life is accurate.
You would think that they would use an electronic drum set that you can carry around
No,
to
you
make
got to
it
get the right sound
easier.
quality. There's something that you need like the heads to move. It's better. I don't I just know drummers like real drums.
Oh, fair enough. I'm not a drummer, so I wouldn't know.
Here's another update for a game.
Absalom's Sword of Fate content update is arriving in February, specifically on February 12th. Includes a new game mode, which lets players take on challenges involving numerous modifiers as well as set up their own. Absalom was that new
Yeah.
action RPG that came out?
Yeah. Isn't it like roguelike action RPG? It's
Yeah.
got two-player co-op. I haven't played it, even though I own it. And me and Tyrell's offered to play it with me, and I just keep putting it off. Game sold over 500,000 copies, says Dotemu. So that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So you can look forward to that.
Yeah, oh, Cyril
Rain.
says it's not action RPG so much as beat 'em up, which makes sense.
Okay,
Yeah. So
gotcha. It makes
roguelike
sense.
co-op, Turtles in Time.
Makes sense since it was developed by the Streets of Rage people.
Yeah.
So there you go. Rain's The Witcher releasing on PC and mobile next month. Looks like a narrative-driven spin-off of The Witcher, told from the perspective of the bard Dandelion.
Oh boy.
Will it have the Toss a Coin song
I
in
don't
it?
know. All the Reigns games end in this weird psychological cyber future weirdness. So I don't know how this one's gonna go. Reigns is a weird series. I've never understood the story of one of the Reigns games, truly.
So Reigns is a spin-off is
Reigns is a series. The Witcher is a series. This is a Reigns game based on the Witcher property. So it'll probably have
okay, so
nothing to
it's
do with the
books.
Reigns other games, other than it's using the slide left or right to make a choice. You apparently have stats, and you will get an ending of some sort. And you will play it
Gotcha.
again. And then eventually you will come up to some sort of ending that's indicates you've kind of seen everything, sort of.
So this is more visual novel than that's what
Maybe.
you're describing to
I
me.
know. Yeah. It's more of a roguelike visual novel in that way because you have to like you're making a run and you're making choices and it impacts whether or not you're gonna get lynched by a mob versus succeeding with your life goals. Reigns is a weird
Gotcha.
game. Did I say that
Yeah,
already?
I have never heard of that sub-series of The Witcher before.
It's not a sub-series of The Witcher.
Yeah, it's an indie game.
They're all
separate.
They're two separate series, but now they're making a Reigns based on The Witcher.
Oh, okay.
So this probably won't have the weird cyber girl boss stuff going on in it, but I don't know what it will have. So anyway, what is this next thing?
Sword Hero. Looks like low-poly PlayStation stuff. It's undergoing a Kickstarter campaign that'll run until February 26.
Oh, look, it's an open-world RPG with sandbox elements.
Yeah.
So it's like this every other...
This is up your alley, right?
Yeah. No, this is like... So it, that description can be like Skyrim and Kingdom Come Deliverance, or it could be like No Man's Sky and Shrouded. So like, I don't know which way they're going with this. I'm thinking
this one looks more Skyrim.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it's not survival. They don't say survival, so that must be the difference. Yeah,
makes sense.
Also, it's not real. It's a Kickstarter, so you know, they met their $35,000 funding goal, which is probably enough to make one piece of art. Maybe two.
Are you saying game development is expensive?
Yeah, game development is expensive.
Well, this is a solo developer, so.
Cool. So they expect it to release in 2027, and of course the video does have what appears to be the game running in it, so that's much better than many Kickstarters. So check it out, see if you're comfortable donating or not. And don't expect anything for your money, because it's a Kickstarter. Actually delivering is a bonus.
So, Card NCL, the expansion pass, has been detailed, and the Switch 2 version content update has been released. I keep seeing this game everywhere, and I don't know what it's about.
It looks like Mega Man Battle Network with cards.
Okay, gotcha.
As far as the combat goes.
There are two upcoming DLCs adding the worlds of Gal Guardians and Blaster Master Zero to the game.
Sure, why not?
I guess these are both separate DLCs. The Gal Guardians one is going to release on February 19th, and the Blaster Master one is going to release on March 12th. And the expansion pass is going to be $9.99, with the each DLC available individually for $4.99. So
you actually save 1 cent by buying them individually rather than the expansion pass.
Yes. 1 whole cent. They've also released the Nintendo Switch 2 version of the game with the free content update. I'm sorry. There is a free content update. Updating to the Switch 2 version will be $5. It includes higher resolution or high frame rate modes, as well as mouse control support. This content update, available on all platforms, includes real challenge battles where you will need to complete preset battles in a set number of turns. So, any questions?
No questions.
No.
Gotcha. Compile Heart announces Villain Code. And this is the game that I think the Koji Okada, who was the co-founder of Atlus and the co-creator of SMT and Persona, I thought he came out and teased this a while back, and now they've announced it. Am I talking out of my ass here? Or did you guys remember anything about this?
Yes, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, but basically, he's making a Persona game with Compile Heart. At least that's the vibe.
Wait, did you say Koji Kondo?
No.
Oh.
Koji Okada.
Which one is that? Oh, co-founder of Atlus, co-creator of SMT and Persona. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Bunch of old Persona, or old Atlus people.
Yeah.
Were involved in the earlier Persona and Megami Tensei games. Are working
so
on.
You're saying now we have two companies making Persona games? We'll get one once every 5 years now?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we've got a synopsis of the game. You're at a research academy.
There's a whole video. It's in Japanese, but like, it's got fun music and gameplay, so you can check it out.
You're entering a dungeon-esque alternate dimension that is said to embody the 10 evil deeds of humanity.
Ellie, one of the characters has a cat, and they're walking it on a leash.
What? Oh. Is this in the screenshots or in the video?
In the video. I've got it on stream.
I'll have to watch the video later. Though that's not realistic. You can't walk a cat on a leash.
I have a cat that I walk on a leash. He tells me where I'm going.
Okay. How often does he just flop over onto his belly and stop walking?
Never. Well, never? If a car's coming, then he gets on his belly and hides. Even if it's on concrete, he just, I gotta get low. Gotta get low. Then he won't see, then the car won't see me. And the car leaves and he gets up and he's like, okay, time to go and chew on all the grass.
As a cat does.
Uh-huh.
Said to release in Japan on June 25th this year. Don't know about an English release. I guess we'll see.
Let's skip the next story.
That one? Okay, mm-hmm. So we're going to action RPG Darkhaven. Yeah. What is Darkhaven about?
Killing monsters and breaking pots and opening treasure chests.
Okay, yeah, so
wait, Diablo. So why don't I own this yet? Let's see. It's a Kickstarter.
Kickstarter, that's why.
Have they met their goal at least? The Kickstarter's not happening now? Wait a second. Story says a Kickstarter campaign is planned. Oh, and I can sign up to be notified when the Kickstarter starts. Or I could not do that and wait for the game to exist, which is what I think I'm going to do.
You could just wishlist it on Steam.
Called Darkhaven, wishlist it if you want. And hey, at least, again, another game that's going to kickstart but has like demonstration footage of the game, including gear and equipment and player models. They're way further along than many Kickstarters. So that's good. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it's good. Especially in this world where you can like have AIs make up games for you now.
Yeah.
So those don't turn out pretty well. This looks real. So
a Diablo like where you can kind of like destroy terrain and kind of use that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Stuff. I don't know how that's going to impact things, but useful. Like, I'm used to, like, the Diablo-likes where, like, you destroy all the monsters on the screen at the same time. So, like, if you got these groundbreaking abilities, I would expect you to be able to use it to just, like, this screen's dead, this screen's dead, this screen's dead, and just keep going as you keep going.
Yeah. But
I don't know if it'll let you. Might be a slower paced thing. Have to see when it exists. Kelly!
Yes.
What are they doing to Final Fantasy VII on Steam?
So it's getting an updated Steam release, and they're delisting the old version and calling it the 2013 edition. But they're not saying what the 2013 edition entails. Or like what this update entails.
Now, if you own this old version that I think is available right now... on sale, no less, you will be able to download the new version for free, it says.
Yeah.
But the save games will be incompatible. There's no release date for the new version. No list of differences between the two versions.
The scuttlebutt is that this new version is removing old DRM.
Okay. So, like, yeah, the current version is, like, just the PC version, but wrapped to run on modern systems. Without playing the video upside down and stuff like that. But I don't know. I might. Oh, hey, an update regarding the re-release. That's all it says. Yeah, no, nothing. Do I buy this just because it'll be cheaper to buy and get the free upgrade? Or do I not buy it because if it's really still just the same game but without DRM, I'm still not going to want to play it again?
I don't know. I have a bunch of different versions of Final Fantasy VII. I would probably recommend just not worrying about it. That's my thoughts.
Oh, it's in my Steam family library, so Andy has it. Well, it's on sale right now till February 4th. If you want to gamble and see, like, hey, what does the new version get you? But it may not be much at all. Just be aware of that.
How much is it on sale for?
60% off, so like under $5 now.
UA. Oh, yeah, that's not bad for...
No, it's not. I might just do it.
Is it Steam Deck compatible?
It doesn't... it says playable. So, okay. And Yuna points out some stuff in the chat, like, it's probable that the new version will have, like, the console-like modifiers for no encounters and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And, like, if they're going to add, like, those modifiers and add, like, better Steam Deck support, that would make a lot of sense, right, Kelly?
Yeah.
That seems reasonable. We'll see if that happens.
Because I was under the impression that the version on Steam right now was just the old 1997 PC version.
I think that's what it is right now, just modified to run.
Yeah.
I have to emphasize, getting the original version to run without help is hard. Getting the original version to run at the time it came out was hard on PC. You needed a specific graphics card. If you wanted the good music, you needed specific music sound cards. I got hardware to support that, and I should have just bought a PlayStation. I spent the same. I could have saved money overall and had a better experience. But darn it, in battle, my characters were higher resolution than the ones on the PlayStation 1.
Yeah, I didn't have a decent PC until last year. So there was no way I was getting that to run back in 1998 on my god-awful Gateway.
We had an Acer, and I upgraded the 2D. I bought more VRAM for the integrated graphics card on the motherboard at one point, so then I could do higher resolutions on the monitor. And then I bought a 3DFX card for this game, specifically for Final Fantasy VII. And I think I had already had and wanted a good sound card, so I'd gotten the AW64, and I knew that one was well-supported for Final Fantasy VII as well. So, like, that was, like, my whatever the hell this came out. When did VII come out? 8, 98? 97? 96?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, whenever it came out, that was peak PC gaming, and you had to put the update on and install the thing so that otherwise the video would play upside down. So remember that. It's very important. You had to put your codecs on. Everything wasn't built in.
What we're saying is that you youngins are pretty spoiled when it comes to PC games these days.
Man, now this thing requires DirectX 9? DirectX 9 didn't even exist then. Great question. What DirectX would it have been? DX 5 or 6, apparently?
Yeah.
I didn't bother back then because I knew that my PC would never run anything outside of Doom and Duke Nukem.
Mm.
And maybe the first Diablo.
This. Queue up. What is queue up? And how did that get in my cart?
Was that the coin flip?
Coin flipping esport, yeah.
Yeah, I was telling you about that game because you were playing the gambling one.
Huh. Cool. All right, what's our next story?
People of Note reveals voice cast. What is People of Note? Oh, a musical RPG. Gotcha.
Man, that's two music games in this show so far.
This one
everything's
sounds...
turning up Kelly this week.
Mm. Yeah. We have yet to have a cat game now.
No, but yeah, there was a cat in a game.
Yeah, but no, it's to be Kelly, it has to be a cat game.
Okay.
Specifically with a cat.
So tell me who's in this game. Names I'm going to recognize? Famous accordion artists?
I don't recognize any of these names.
I'm listening to the one of the trailers from a previous story we had on this, and the singing's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Which is important for a game where they're going to be singing while you do battles and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I know... Let's see. Cadence, we have Heather Gonzalez for talking and Lexi for singing, L-E-X-X-E, which is, you know, common at times where you'll have like stunt, I like to call them stunt singers, like they do all the singing gigs. Mm-hmm. But I don't know who Lexi is, but it sounded cool. They sound good. Fret by Jason Charles Miller. Cynthia is played by Erica Ishii for talking and Amanda Angelis for singing. Vox by Mansa Wakil Wakili, Saren by Marwan Salama, Ark by Alex Boniello. This next person I recognize, Sharp, is played by Joe Zija, who was Claude in the Fire Emblem Three Houses. Is Claude?
Oh, okay.
Was their name Claude? The yellow one. The one who's upside Claude. Down on the cover. So Zija, yeah. People love Joe. Anthony's played by Griffin Burns. Lasso's played by Sean Keenan. Elias Reyes for talking and Drew Ryder Smith for singing. Martell's played by Deborah Wilson. And Annette is played by Erica Lindbeck. That's a name I recognize. I couldn't tell you what they've played, but the name looks familiar. For talking and Elizabeth Zeroff for singing. So, yay. This looks cool. I want to play this because it looks unique.
But you're no talking about... Sorry, you're talking about stunt singers. Famously, Jeremy Irons in Lion King tried to sing Be Prepared and blew out his voice, so they had to get Jim Cummings to replace him halfway through.
In what?
In The Lion King.
The original Lion King?
Yeah, for Be Prepared.
Because
Jeremy Irons, who voiced
but
Scar,
I thought tried... Be Prepared was sung by Jeremy Irons, no?
The first half. The first
so now
the
I have
song.
To go listen to see when it turns into Jim Cummings doing Jeremy Irons?
Yeah.
Holy crap, that's amazing, and I love it. Jim Cummings is the best. He should have been Minsk in the new Baldur's Gate 3, and I don't know what even cost him.
Maybe they couldn't pay him enough. I don't know.
Well, it turns out Larian is not as led by as cool of a guy as we used to think it was, so I don't know. That's a whole other thing. That's politics. I don't want to get into it. Sorry.
Play the game of see where Jeremy Irons cuts off and where Jim Cummings.
Vaughn says apparently it's super obvious, so I'm going to hear it and be like, oh, I always figured blah, 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 and now I know the real reason. So, but I'm going to not do that during the show because, you know.
See, Vaughn, you say that? I didn't, until somebody pointed it out, I didn't notice it. But once I noticed it, I couldn't unnotice it.
Which is, that's perfect then. Like,
yeah.
You're not supposed to notice it. So if that means they won. They pulled it off. If it takes 20 years for the news, 35?
It's been 30 years, give or take.
We should move on to the next story before I turn into dust. Super Robot Wars.
Super Robot Wars Y's second DLC.
Goodness, I saw Y possibly. Yes, I said ease.
You're programmed now.
I've been doing the two RPGs for too long. I can't say why. Wise. This is the second DLC for the game with the name of Super Robot Wars Y. There we go.
Yeah. We'll release on February 5th, or 2 days earlier for those who have purchased the Digital Ultimate Edition. It will add 5 new playable units and 16 new area missions, 10 new onboard missions, 1 new assist crew member from titles, including robot games I've never heard of.
I bet Tam's heard of all of them and is super excited.
Yeah. I guess that's the story. I'm sure
I have a question.
Yeah.
Would you all play a Super Robot Wars Ease?
Yes. But you know, Adol's not keeping that giant robot afloat.
His giant robot will be a giant intergalactic ship that he crashes for attacks.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Oh, that'll be great. It'll never happen.
But we can dream.
Hope that's our title. Super Robot Wars Ease. All right, Death Howl is coming to consoles. I know it's already on PC. What else we know? We've got a trailer showing off some of the rewards and stuff it's gotten. Yeah. It's coming February 19th for PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Physical for Switch and PlayStation. So this is Dark Souls
deck building
tactical.
Yeah.
So Dark Souls Slay the Spire plus keep forgetting it. What's the name of the game where that was made by the FTL people, but with robots?
Oh, Into the Breach.
Into the Breach. There we go. I don't know if it's actually if a combo of all three of those is accurate, but also give it crazy art style too. So like, yeah, Death Howl coming to consoles next month. The end. All right. Okay. The next one, Aunt Kelly, tell me about this.
Victorol, will you trust your party, fully released on Steam?
Is it this- Victorol or Virectal?
Virectal.
V-I-Rectal. No, Virectal. I don't know how to pronounce this game, and the title has changed capitalization since we started covering it. It's made by the Dokapon Kingdom people, except it seems more cooperative friendly than hostile than the old Dokapon games. Which is to say, it's made by Sting. Remember Sting? They used to make Department Heaven games. Now they make weird board games. Apparently. I don't know what else.
Hey, if they can make a weird shoot 'em up slash tactical game and make it be fun, then I'm willing to try anything.
Which one is that?
Knights in the Nightmare.
Yeah, but that's really, really old.
I'm just saying it was one part shoot 'em up.
I think Jeremy Irons sang about it in The Lion King at this point, Kelly. Come on.
No, you're lying.
Oh, I'm lying.
But, yeah, it was in early access for the longest time. Now you can buy it for $25. And, yeah, board game style, turn-based combat. You roll dice to determine your movement.
Online co-op, card battles. But not like TCG card battles, but like your attacks are cards that you are given. I don't know. But play the demo, see if you like it. Oh, right. What was the story, though? Was the story was that it's just out. Okay.
Yeah.
That's, we, all right. Probably covered that last week, then. All right. Okay, another one of those. Encounter the Lost Cards came out last week. That is a PC game where you, it's themed around tarot cards, and you are pulled into a conflict between angels and demons, but this isn't Diablo. You must seek out the lost major arcana. Those are tarot cards, you know, the ones you hear about in Persona games. You have to battle foes, deal with motions, make decisions. You have to make decisions? That's a weird idea for game. You're always making decisions in a game, right? No?
Whether or not they're impactful is the...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Are you permanently on call to solve nature's wildfires? Or are you... can undo the consequences of your decision. No. Okay. What else? There's no world map. You travel through a deck of encounters. Okay. This looks like it's very cool. It's side view pixel 2D art, and you should check it out because it looks neat. And I really like, it's got like some, I don't know if you've listened to this trailer, Kelly, but it feels to me like they're going for a Dragon Force vibe, but without like as good of a guitar player.
Yeah, I'm hearing it now.
Which is fine. Like, not everybody has to be the Dragon Force guy to make good music or anything.
But it's like... Even the Dragon Force guy is getting too old to be the Dragon Force guy. Okay, I wasn't curious about this game before until I listened to the soundtrack. Now I'm wishlisting it.
See, it's what a good trailer can do for you.
Yeah. If the whole game sounds
it's
like
$10
that.
Bucks. So it's got a demo. I'm going to download the demo. Then forget to play it.
That was an apt description of the music in that. That sounded right? Very slowed down, Dragon Force.
Yep. Next is Udawari Reimamono.
Another one of the prequels.
Another? Is this a pre-sequel?
Yes.
Thank you, Borderlands.
It's like I have to think about that. Like, yes, 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 it's a pre-sequel. So it's following on after the previous Monochrome Mobius Rights and Wrongs Forgotten, the previous prequel that was put out. So this one's turn-based.
See, this is
not
pre-sequel,
tactical.
But a correct usage of the term. Whereas yes. Borderlands was really just a prequel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. So this will be coming out on PS5 and Switch in Japan on May 28th. It's going to be on PC here on Steam.
And it's got straight up anime intro video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got all the anime tropes for an intro video. The collages, the music swelling and changing to now it's time to look at everyone's face turning towards the camera. Oh, there's someone crying on silhouette. Yep. Okay, cool. Yeah, we've got all the boxes ticked for anime intro. Go check that out on our story. Actual name of the game is Urarari Ramono Shiroe no Michishirube on PS5 and Switch in Japan on May 28th. I don't know when it's coming out here. Oh, I see. It's also doing a PC release that's worldwide and has English in it. So there you go. Where do you buy it, though? Oh, it's on Steam. Okay.
Steam.
I'm not used to being able to get the English worldwide releases on easy to access stores. Ever play this? I have no idea. But for people into the underwater Ray Romanos, there you go. Oh, here's another under game. Under the Island. It looks like, it's another cutesy Zelda.
Where the main character has a hockey stick as his weapon?
Is it a he or a she? I don't even know.
Not sure.
Maybe it doesn't matter.
Could just be a they.
The character's name is Nia, N-I-A. She joins forces with local girl Avocado. Okay. To investigate the island's supposed fate of sinking beneath the ocean. So you're going to go through dungeons. You slap things with your hockey stick. It looks like you might befriend a dog. No, they're befriending a yak. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, this is 100% like Zelda vibes.
Isometric Zelda. Yeah.
Not isometric. That's not diagonal. This is
yeah.
Top down.
That's a big bear. Mm. Oh, you can sell a ramen bowl to them. Okay, cool. I don't know what's going on. Check it out. That looks neat. Coming out February 17th, so we'll tell you when it's out soon. And it's coming out for everything. PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Check out the trailer. It does look pretty cool. Andy, you probably want Under the Island. You should go look at it. What's next?
Genie Gods Neza announced for PC and PS5.
Coming out in 2028. That's so. Are we going to even be alive then?
Yeah, that's way too early.
Why are we announcing this now?
This is a game based off of Chinese creation mythology, where you're put in the role of a spirit pearl, a spark of life forged by the goddess of life.
Is this a live action trailer? No, I don't know what's going on. All right, so two things. One, it's based on the philosophy of Bruce Lee's Be Water philosophy and Jeet Kune Do martial art. So that's the impact. That's what's driving their combat in this. So expect it to look really freaking cool. I assume that means it's like a wuxia game, kind of like Where Winds Meet. I don't know. Oh, we got this looks like a Dark Soul battle.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we're going to have
some Dark Souls.
Bruce Souls. Is Bruce Souls Bruce Lee Dark Souls or is it Batman Dark Souls?
Ooh.
I think this is more Bruce Lee Dark Souls.
Well, this is Bruce Lee Dark Souls. I'm just saying, is Bruce Souls. No, because that would be Bat Souls. Yeah, you're right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I like this. So, like, there's a meter here that kind of goes back and forth between you and the enemy to kind of illustrate your momentum and who's got the advantage in the fight. So that's kind of neat. And it looks like you have to fill it up at certain points, be able to do damage to them. That's different. So it's like trying to keep the momentum of a fight and make it relevant to a battle system. Cause that's always part of like anime and stories describing a fight, right? Is who's got the momentum and who's turning it around. But like making it a game mechanic can be hard. So it seems to be what they're going for.
Literally yell, I've got the high ground.
Well, this is flat, so I don't think so, but uh-oh. They filled the meter and then they got a QTE, it looks like. And then, okay, so now that they filled up their momentum meter, whatever it's called, I'm making that up, they stunned them, did a bunch of damage, and now the meter resets. Okay. Oh, man, now they've got magic fire tornadoes. Listen, this game looks hard.
Yeah.
So, like, anyway, the preview trailer is just like this giant long boss fight. So you can go watch it and watch the whole thing. And it'll be out in 2 years. I have no idea when it'll be. I don't know if it's a regional release or global release. It's very early to announce it. If it's coming out in 2028. So I don't know if they're looking for funding or what. You know what? We only see one fight. So they're totally looking for funding. That has to be it. This is a publishing play, isn't it?
Probably.
Could be.
Yeah. But also, they got some artists. Or it's all AI and we'll find out later. But either way, they're trying to do high res fancy fantasy art. So we'll see how that turns out. Hoping it's not AI. Everything seems to be lately. All right. Nested Lands. Early access is delayed to February. Sorry, if you were going to play the Nested Lands early access, it's been delayed to February 25th. I hadn't even heard about it, but then it'll come out on Steam, GOG, and Epic, and they need to add some crucial features for, and that's what caused the delay. That is a game that is a set in a ruthless, plague-ravaged medieval world where you build up a settlement. So is this a survival thing? Yeah, of course. Oh, wait. Is it single player survival? So it sounds like you recruit survivors in the game and give them roles in your town and stuff. So that's cool. And there's a demo out right now. So anyway, if you're just waiting for the early access, it's delayed. Let's see. But something that isn't delayed that came out this past week, it sounds like, is Echoes of Elysium on Steam Early Access. Came out for about $20. It is set in a version of the Elysian Fields afterlife. That's the Greek thing that, you know, see in Hades, right? Gladiator, I guess, is better touchstone for that. Draws inspiration from classical Greek inventors, particularly Heron of Alexandria. Six players crafting airships to investigate worlds, floating islands while crafting... Okay, so it's crafting survival. Airship building, open world. So this is Minecraft, Skies of Arcadia? Is that how I describe the genre?
Could be good.
But not, it doesn't look like Minecraft, obviously. It's like, what is this? Let's see how it looks. You know what it reminds me? It's that, what was the sarcastic Greek open world Ubisoft style game?
Oh, good. Immortals?
Phoenix, Immortal Rising? Was that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's got that sort of art style to it. And like I said, all airships. And there's machines, Greek mythology, floating islands, survival, six players. It's in early access now. And if that's your jam, you probably want to check it out.
I wanted to try that one because it was supposed to be really funny and it had Breath of the Wild vibes, but was never impulse buy price.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe now that it's been a couple of years, I might be able to find a copy.
But you're still talking about Phoenix Immortal Rising, right?
Yeah.
Or Immortal Phoenix Rising, whatever it is. Yeah.
It was supposed to be really good.
That's what I heard. It's been a while now. I played a little bit of it. I did play like a couple hours of it, like finished most of the first zone. And I remember thinking positively of it and wanting to deal with the sarcastic humor of its writing and stuff and just never got back to it. But Echoes of Elysium is a different thing. You check that out now. And then we have finally a story about RPG Emberville that is also coming to Steam Early Access, but not till the summer. As Alex Jordan, Rook in Dragon Age, the Veilguard, and Doug Cockle, Geralt in the Witcher series, as part of their voice cast. And get this, the main character is amnesiac. They lost their memory.
Never heard of that.
In an MMO. Yeah. But you're accompanied by someone named Memento that has your memories stored inside them. Mm. Mm. Hey, okay. So as you go through this procedurally generated dungeon, you will rescue townspeople and rebuild a town, and I assume then your memories will unlock over time and all that. Real-time combat, it's overhead, it's 2D, it's pixel art, it looks neat, and very cool.
The main character looks like Marceline from Adventure Time to me.
Looks like who?
Marceline from Adventure Time.
Oh, okay.
And the premise sounds like Dark Cloud.
There's so many games like this. Neat. Yeah.
Yeah. The art style kind of reminds me of Graveyard Keeper.
But it's early access, so let me know when it's done.
Yeah. No, I'll have to keep an eye on it because it looks neat.
All right. That brings us to what's coming out this week. So, covered some of what recently came out, but here's an overview of what's come out in the week to come. It's Dragon Quest VII Reimagined for everything, Xbox, PC, PlayStation, Switch 2. Jimmy and the Pulsating Mass, which I wasn't able to figure out where that was coming out.
I think console, because it was originally for PC.
Okay, so it was made by a dude in one person? This is a single-person RPG product? Okay.
Yeah.
So, then we have hitting early access, a game called Menace. It is a tactical RPG from the developers of Battle Brothers. So, very militaristic. And are those spaceships and battle mechs? Okay. So, future tech. Neo 3, we talked about earlier. We didn't. I said I put it off. The demo is available now for Neo 3. So, if you've been looking forward to Neo 3, it's out this week. There's a demo now. So, you go check that out. And then a game called Hermit and Pig. I didn't get enough about.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a story-rich, turn-based RPG where you fend off wild assailants, forage mushrooms, survive social anxiety, and stumble into a corporate conspiracy with your trusty pig. So this seems Earthbound inspired, or inspired by all the games inspired by Earthbound, you know? Mm-hmm. Very flat, cartoony, 2D style to the art. Check it out. It's got a demo. It'll be out this week. See if you're interested. Hermit and Pig. Okay, cool. That's what's coming out next. We got some editorial content.
Indeed. Where's my tab? We've got a little Witch in the Woods review from Michael Baker. This is another kind of cutesy, cozy game starring a witch, but you go out and fight and explore to get stuff. If that makes any sense.
There's a cat god in this screenshot.
Yep. It looks cute.
Why haven't you played this yet?
I just found out about it today via this review and I wishlisted it.
That works. Little Witch in the Woods. All right. What are the pluses?
Adorable graphic design and direction, strong localization for the major plot scenes, and a variety of item gathering approaches. The negatives are a few remaining bugs, and the localization quality dips in non-vital areas. And Michael gave it a 3.5 out of 5, and this is on Steam. But according to the time sync, it's over 60 to 80 hours. So, yeah, I'm curious about it, but I might need to wait.
What is the time sync?
As in how much time it took to complete?
Oh, in the review. Hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were referring to a new site instead of how long to beat. Yeah. I'm like, is there another one of these I got to learn?
That would be a good name for a how long to beat clone time sync. But yeah, I have this game on my radar now. I'm curious about it.
Oh, and hey, we have an actual Ease game review. Perfect.
A retro review from Ryan Radcliffe, a.k.a. Scar, who reviewed Ease 3, Wanderers from Ease. For the
He Super played Nintendo. This on the Wheel of Games, didn't he?
Uh-huh.
And Josh and I were both lamenting before the show, like, oh, God, the worst Ease game.
He gave it a 3.5 out of 5.
He liked it.
Game is short, rings are very powerful, and the music is wonderful, he says, but the game can be punishing and the story isn't anything special.
Play Oath and Fel'Ghana.
Shots and 31 spins later. That's how long it took to... Man, only 31 spins, that is a short game, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
Oath and Fel'Ghana is the better game, don't touch this one.
Is that a remake of Ys 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
A ground up remake, it is so much better.
But oh, he seemed to like it.
No, I mean, good for him. He found enjoyment out of it. This was my first exposure to Ease, and I'm like, this series sucks. Oh, this is the only game in the series that's like that. So I tangentially related this to our question of the week this week. And I wrote it down. Did you start a game series that was a bad representation of that series?
Did you start a series by playing the bad game that everyone hates in it?
Yeah, like yeah. This one, or Final Fantasy II, or Zelda II. What are some? Like, I would almost count Dragon Quest VII as kind of that, because it came out on PlayStation, and that was just a slog compared to some of the other games. I want to know if anybody else has started a series with a quote-unquote weak point. I guess you could call it a weak point in the series, not necessarily bad. But for me, that one is kind of a bad representation because it was the only side-scrolling one.
Yeah.
And Josh, would you say that the Oath and Fel'Ghana, they kind of made it more of a Metroidvania with, or a 2.5?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's one of the ones that actually has jumping in it as well.
Yeah.
I think Zelda 2 is a good game, and y'all can't tell me otherwise. But no, I started with Zelda 1. Yeah, it's a take. Hey. That's one of the takes of all time.
Hey, do you want to be our controversial take on our Zelda 40th anniversary backtrack this week?
No, not really. I haven't played a lot of Zeldas. I've played a lot of Zeldas, but I haven't played a lot of... I've played and not played a lot of Zeldas. Should get Andy.
Because I'm curious who the Zelda 2 defender will be.
Better but have also, one. It's the only RPG.
I would also love to see Nintendo give that game the same treatment as, say, the janky Game Boy Metroid game that they remade.
Yeah. Except keep it 2D and the music very close to the same.
Oh, yeah, keep it 2D and keep the music the same. Just kind of fix the combat so it's not so tedious.
They won't put out a 2D game. Nintendo's going to put out a 2D game.
I mean,
for a Zelda? People would murder them. They got
that Echoes of Wisdom.
Yeah. That's not 2D.
No, but it's top-down.
They already had that because they had remade the frickin' Game Boy game, right? So
yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, well, if we take this and make a game where Zelda's the main character, that's what people want, right? It's like, yes, we do, but how about you make it the main character in a freaking actual Zelda game? I guess we have the Hyrule Warriors games. That's something.
It played just like an actual Zelda game. It just didn't have the similar combat. At least that was my opinion of it.
True. Fair enough.
That was a good game.
Mm. A lot of bed making is what the impression I got from Andy.
Yeah, you definitely used a lot of beds. They were the handiest of items.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so if you'd like to answer our question of the week, which is, did you start a game series with one of its weakest games, for example, Ease 3, Final Fantasy 2, etc., how did it affect your perception of the series? And you could do that at going to rpgamer.com and answering right in the show thread for the show. You can do it in the Discord, you can do it on the YouTube, or wherever you found the show. Just discuss it, and we'll try and find it and bring your comments into the show next week. With that, I have to say thank you to Kelly and Josh, but what are you going to play this week, Kelly?
I'm going to try and finish up Hades 2. And I had my physical copy of Animal Well get here, and I think I might try that one out, but I also know that Dragon Quest 7 Remaster is coming out this week. I don't know, Animal Well might be my kind of palate cleanser in between the Hades and a long-form game like Dragon Quest 7, because I've wanted to play that for a while. But I'm definitely finishing up Hades 2 and Let's Build a Zoo.
Got to finish them before you start something else.
Yep.
What about you, Josh?
More Trails. I'm in the Trails zone.
And I'm probably going to play more Project Gorgon because I just started it. But, like, I'm surprised. Are none of us going to play Dragon Quest 7?
I might boot it up just to see.
It's a Dragon Quest release. How can we not all play it? Aren't we supposed to? Don't we have a contract?
Because it's a remake of one of the slowest ones in the series.
Exactly, it needs improvement. Actually, I thought it already got improvement. Now we're improving it again?
Yeah.
How many times is it going to be improved?
The DS release kind of improved the navigation and the exploration, because if you could softlock yourself if you missed any of the puzzle pieces. I think this version's just going to streamline the story and the exploration a bit more. I don't know. I wonder if Matt's reviewing it.
Here is my existential crisis for Dragon Quest VII that happens whenever I think about playing it this week. I never finished the post-game of Dragon Quest XI. Should I go do that first?
I never finished Dragon Quest post-game, Chris. But by the time I get to post game in a Dragon Quest game, I'm ready to be done with the Dragon Quest game.
Fair enough. All right.
But that's a me problem.
I think you should let yourself play the new game, Chris.
No, I can't. But I should.
I mean, do whatever you want. It's a free country.
Fair enough.
You don't have to play Dragon Quest if you don't want to.
All right. Well, I'll go ponder what I'm going to do and let you know next time. Not next week. I won't be hosting next week because I've got on-call responsibilities and stuff again. But Andy and Kelly should be, I think, right?
Yep.
Maybe? Okay, cool. We'll see you next week. Until then, again, answer the question, stay tuned on the website, and check out our streaming wonderful people all weekend and throughout the week over at twitch.tv/RPGamer. Until next week, then, I say goodbye to you and good luck and have fun playing Dragon Quest or whatever you're going to enjoy.
Bye.
Yay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.